M&A buyer tactics you might want to avoid. That's the topic on today's MSP Zone.
You are entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
M&A, mergers and acquisitions. We're talking today about the subtleties, and it's not so subtle for most people out there, but I think it ought to be a subtlety for when you want to buy another MSP and you are the acquirer. There are some things that you should do, and there are things that you shouldn't do. There are things that, if you do them, they will be less helpful to your objective of finding and actually acquiring an MSP business. And there are things that, if you do it, will actually help you find and acquire an MSP business. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So it's not, we talk a little bit about what's driving it, but we're going to talk more about how certain companies today are actually employing strategies. And, you know, I'll give you my thoughts about how I think that they're, how it makes those people and those organizations they work for appear, and how I think that, the vast majority of MSPs I know actually respond to those, and do they respond, and what do they think about them? Because if you are in the position of wanting to acquire MSPs, which quite frankly, there's a lot of you out there, and there's a lot of you who are thinking about selling your MSP practice, these things you may want to consider. You just might want to think about some of these things we're going to talk about. So let's just dive right in. Shouldn't come to any shock to anybody today that there's a lot of interest in MSP acquisition, mergers, M&A for short. The short version or rationale for why this is happening, there's a lot, right? Certainly, number one, there's a ton of money, chiefly coming from private equity, going into managed service providers, predominantly, not exclusively, but predominantly because of the role that MSPs play in cybersecurity and securing their customers. And that is a really powerful motivator for a lot of people who are, let's say, maybe hedging their bets about in the stock market. They might be fully vested there. They might be completely out of the stock market. They may be just wanting to hedge their bets a little bit and say, spread their capital around in the private sector market. And why not MSPs? Managed services is a hot market, as you all know. It has been that way, and it's continuing to get hotter. So you can easily understand why investors would want to, and when I say investors, I mean literal investors, right? Not MSP professionals, although there are some of those out there. I'm talking about people who just want to see a return on their money. They are very much looking at the MSP market today. So that's going on. And then you've got some other, I think significant motivators. You certainly have the high likelihood of, at least in the United States, an increase in capital gains taxes in the near future, like very near future. And so that's driving undoubtedly a lot of people, a lot of MSP business owners to think about a sale, especially if they're, later in years, shall we say, and maybe wanting to retire, maybe wanting to buy out a partner who's wanting to retire or doesn't want to be in the business anymore, whatever the reason. When you have catalysts like increases in taxes coming, on the horizon. It makes you maybe accelerate your plans a little bit. Whatever the reason that you might be looking to sell, whatever the reason you might be looking to buy an MSP business, that is, there are some things that you ought to be aware of. There are some things that you shouldn't do. There's some things that you should do. Some things you shouldn't do. We're going to talk about that. Let's first focus on what are MSP buyers looking for? Well, I'll tell you what they're looking for, and I'll tell you what they should be looking for, because those are not often the same thing. What I think MSP buyers today are looking for is accretive value through a sudden burst of revenue from an acquisition. Well, what does accretive mean? It doesn't necessarily have to be a roll-up strategy, and I'm not going to go over that now. A lot of you know what my opinion is about MSP roll-ups, about roll-ups in general, but MSP roll-ups in specific. I've talked about it, written about it a lot. But I think that there's a lot of MSP buyers and their investors who think, wow, if we could just cobble together 10 MSPs, 20 MSPs, we could be, you know, the sum would be far greater than the individual component value. And I can understand the impulse and the drive to believe that that is true. Whether it's true in theory, whether it's true in reality, in practice, completely different. And I'm not gonna weigh in right now in this episode on whether that's a good strategy or not. But that is undeniably what is driving a lot of the M&A activity out there, is growth through this strategy. Now, I've said before, I've said it multiple times, and I will repeat it today. If your sole growth strategy, or the predominant growth strategy of your MSP business, is acquisition, I think that that's not a sound strategy. I just don't. I think that you ought to be looking at strategic acquisitions, because strategic acquisitions make the most sense, produce the greatest potential for return on investment, and you're always going to have risk in M&A, always. Even if two parties love each other, like this, the perfect fit, you're always going to still have risk on both sides, buyer and seller. But why compound that existing risk with additional risk that could easily be eliminated by just tightening your focus and your strategy for why you're doing the acquisition in the first place? And so I think that strategic acquisitions, whether it be acquiring a service vertical, buying into a new market territory, a service vertical market territory, a geographic market territory, it could be getting expertise. It could be a variety of reasons where you would want to do an acquisition. And I think that those are perfectly legitimate. And in fact, I think that if you look at the data and you look at the history of successfully consummated MSP acquisitions, the ones that stood the test of time, meaning that the resulting organization lasted the longest and fared the best, it was those strategic deals. It wasn't the randomized roll-up aggregate, you know, M&A kind of firestorm. But you can do that research yourself and hopefully come to that same conclusion. again, back to this, the present day, regardless of why you are looking to buy an MSP, when you go out there and you are simply actively pinging away, right? Like sonar, right? Like in the old submarine movies, when you see the submarine captains and they have the sonar and they're pinging away to find out, you know, where the enemy U-boats are, enemy submarines are. It's kind of like that. You've got people who are saying, I want to buy an MSP business. Contact me if you fit this criteria. I think that that's a horrible strategy. I mean, like, there's nothing that smacks more of desperation, more of a lack of a strategy, just more of a sell to me because it's good for me message is a really bad idea. Like, I cannot think of anybody who would resonate positively to that type of strategy. If I saw that and someone just said, hey, I want to buy something that you own, there's got to be a reason for it. I mean, especially when you're talking about a company with employees, with customers, with brand, with history. You need something more than just a willing buyer. And more often than not, like I know because I see this stuff almost on a daily basis. People who are just out there blindly, you know, they reach out to us and say, hey, MSP Alliance, do you know MSPs that wanna sell? I said, I don't know. How would I know that? 30,000 members. I'm sure someone wants to sell, but, you know, why are you so special from the other 1,000 people out there that also want to buy? What makes you better? Do you have more credit? Are you willing to offer a better deal, a higher valuation, an easier due diligence period? I mean, there's no motivation or rationale behind this other than we're a better company to buy you than the other people. And I don't think that that's persuasive at all. It certainly doesn't talk about any type of strategy, right? For example, if I was an MSP and I was saying, I want to buy into a market vertical, let's say I want to get into healthcare customers, right? I don't do healthcare managed services right now, but I want to. Well, that would change my whole market approach to finding that type of acquisition. Like, I would start going out there, and if I even use this more of a buckshot, broad spectrum approach of just, you know, mass communicating to anyone who will listen, I would start saying, well, I'm looking to improve our or enter into our healthcare practice. If anyone would like to talk to me about that, you know, let me know. At least that gives a sense of specificity to the seller, the potential seller, to say, okay, well, I at least get the strategy. I at least get that there's something deeper going on. And it's not just a roll up, and it's more tangible. I guess that's the only way I can put it. And it's in that type of approach, whether, again, it's a service vertical approach, a geographic vertical approach, it could be, you know, an expertise, a mastery of some sort of technology that is important to the buyer organization. Those are all very valid reasons, and I almost never hear of those. It's almost always in my opinion, a mundane, watered down sell to me. Well, here's a hint. There are so many people out there with that message now. You sound just like everybody else. You are not special. You don't make yourself special by broadcasting these types of communications, I don't think that it's helping you. If I'm wrong and you guys are actually seeing success from that strategy, then I'll stand corrected. But I haven't heard that. So I'm not there yet. No one's told me that that is working from a sell side, and I certainly don't believe it from a buy side. It's definitely more of a commodity approach to managed services and acquisition. And if we've learned anything, if you know, speaking personally, what I believe is, you know, commodity is the last thing that should attach itself to the managed services profession. The very last thing. And to treat the MSPs in such a commodity fashion as to say that that's your approach in performing M&A deals. I don't buy it. I don't think it works. I've not seen data or any other evidence to suggest that it works. And so you might be thinking, well, Charles, what does work? Well, all right, let's talk about some strategies that might work. I think a buyer ought to be a little bit more patient, a lot more discriminating, and do a lot more homework in the types of companies that they reach out to. Because that will yield a lot better results, in my opinion. Make it personal, first of all. Know who you're talking to. Research as much as you can the companies that you're wanting to talk to. It's a very personal thing, in getting involved in an M&A deal. So, you know, just expecting that someone is going to respond to a cold email or a cold call that says, hey, do you want to buy, you know, you want to sell your company to me? You know, that's like, hey, do you want to, I don't know you from anybody, but you want to get involved in a long-term business relationship with me, right? Who's going to do that? I wouldn't. I don't know a lot of people in the MSP Alliance that would. Develop a relationship. As part of that, you know, adding a personal touch to your outreach, start to develop relationships. Don't solicit an M&A deal like you're selling your company as a buyer, like you're selling yourself as a buyer of MSPs. Communicate more of what you're trying to do. Again, my analogy of we're trying to build a new practice in this area. It looks like your company does work in this area. I would love to talk to you about a potential, you know, a business relationship. That would be appealing. That would generate some interest, I would think. And finally, when we talk about selling yourself as an MSP buyer, instead of trying to get the seller to sell their company to you. It may not make immediate sense, but what I'm trying to convey here is that sell the resulting outcome. And by doing so, you will sell yourself and the seller on the deal. Or at least you will raise enough interest to generate a follow-up response via email, a phone call, a meeting, who knows. I think that doing that more frequently would result in more leads, more conversations. The more conversations you have, the more likelihood you have of consummating a deal. Instead of saying, I am so-and-so, I am buying up MSPs at random. I wouldn't think that a lot of MSP owners are going to find that attractive and want to participate in that type of randomized just growth. Now, if you're in a position where you have to sell, you don't care, All right, fine. Then you're maybe the exception to the rule. But most MSP business owners I know care deeply about their customers, their employees, the reputation of themselves personally and of their company, and they want to make sure that that is preserved. And so they're far more jealous of guarding that reputation and protecting their customers and employees, where that type of randomized, impersonal, just sell to me because I'm worth selling to, again, just isn't going to cut it. It's not going to rise to the level of seriousness where a legitimate MSP business owner is going to say, yeah, I'll respond. Yeah, I'm interested. Because I know a little bit about MSP business owners and how they think, and they do care deeply about brand reputation, personal reputation, how their customers are going to be treated, how their employees are going to be treated. And almost always, I mean, not always, but a high percentage of the time when you're talking about these roll-ups, these roll-up strategies do, for the most part, involve cutting out excess, inefficiencies, as the British would call it, redundancies, right? The surplus staff, the surplus technicians, the people that aren't needed because, let's face it, in a roll-up, that's exactly what you're doing. You don't take on 100% of the company. That's not how these roll-up strategies are architected. You buy the companies and you carve out and you cut off excess dead weight. Technologies, third-party vendor relationships, generally not customers, but sometimes customers if they don't fit into the long-term strategy, and certainly employees. Again, for the most part, I'm speaking in generalities. I understand there may be exceptions to that rule, but on the whole, I think that's a fairly accurate statement. And so if you're a buyer out there, you should take that into consideration. How is that message going to resonate with a potential seller? Are they going to say, wow, am I going to respond to somebody where the outcome is going to be the potential termination of some percentage of my staff, where my customers I've known for however many years could be, you know, put to the side because it doesn't fit into the resulting organization's grand vision? These are all very real, very serious considerations that I just don't see much, if at all, attention being paid to those in the cold calling, cold emailing, blind outreach to generate M&A sales opportunities. So even if you are in a otherwise ideal environment, taxes going up, people want to sell, premiums going up, valuations for MSPs going up because they're a very good premium right now, they're in demand, to put it mildly. All those things aside, you still have other things that the business owners are going to deeply care about and probably are going to heavily flavor whether they respond to your outreach. Those are just my thoughts. Now, if you've done this before and you have some differing opinions, certainly I'd love to hear from you guys. Send us an email at mspzone@mspalliance.com. Feel free to share them. I'll keep your comments anonymous if you want. But you know, I think that there's a lot of this kind of clumsy outreach taking place, and I think that maybe a little bit of a pause and restructuring of your approach would have a great effect and a great impact on actually doing better deals. Not the number of deals, right? It's in my opinion not the number of deals you do. It's did you do the right deal or the right deals? That, in my opinion, should always be front of mind in M&A work. Food for thought. Until next time.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so you'll get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.